This is a podcast from the Business Times.
A group of minority shareholders of Great Eastern want to table three resolutions at its coming annual general meeting, which could pave the way for a big improvement in the insurance group's depressed share price. But they face an uphill battle, not least because pushing Great Eastern to unlock value could require its controlling shareholder, OCBC, to make significant adjustments to its corporate structure and strategy. The action that Great Eastern's minority shareholders are taking is an encouraging development, though. If they succeed, their efforts could inform the manner in which investors in Singapore push for change and value-unlocking initiatives at companies they own. Welcome to the BT Mark to Market podcast. My name is Ben Paul, and I'm a senior correspondent at the Business Times. This series of podcasts, which is based on my weekly column in the Business Times, aims to provide analysis and insight on market trends and corporate issues in Singapore. We're in the month of March 2024, which means the reporting season has just come to an end, and many companies with December financial year ends will soon begin preparing for their AGMs. In the studio with me today is a gentleman by the name of Ong Chin Woo, who, together with his supporters, could make Great Eastern's coming AGM a very interesting event.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Chin Woo, the person leading the Great Eastern movement.
Chin Woo, we're going to discuss the three resolutions that you want to have tabled at Great Eastern's AGM in a moment, but let's first address the initial response from Great Eastern to your initiative. Yesterday, on the 6th of March, Great Eastern put out an announcement that basically said three things. First of all, the company has rejected your request to table your resolutions at the coming AGM because, based on legal advice, your request has not satisfied all the requirements necessary to requisition the resolutions. On the issue of Great Eastern's depressed share price, the company said, while Great Eastern will continue to seek to strengthen its business, improve its performance, and maintain a reasonable dividend payout, its share price, as priced by the market, depends on many factors other than the aforesaid. Great Eastern also said this: shareholders are advised to exercise caution when trading in Great Eastern shares, as there is no certainty that requests made to the company through the media, before the company has been able to first review the requests and provide a formal response, will materialize. Chin Woo, what do you plan to do now that Great Eastern has rejected your request? Are you going to give up?
No, of course I'm not giving up. Especially now that I have more shareholders supporting me. We started with about 80, and within a week, now we have 120. I will try to work within the timeline to resubmit a request for the coming AGM. And if I'm unable to do so, then we'll continue to do so in the years to come. We started this journey knowing that it's not going to be an easy one.
What do you understand the requirements to be?
Under Section 183 of the Company Act, ordinary resolution can be tabled at AGM if they have the support of 100 shareholders or shareholders holding 5% or more.
So you've met the requirements under the Companies Act as you understand it. What was Great Eastern's reason for rejecting your proposal?
In fact, when we started the submission, I asked them if there's anything missing. But when they rejected me in their reply, they said that I should go and seek my own legal advice.
So they didn't actually tell you what was missing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you knew this was going to be a difficult campaign. Why are you doing it at all?
Well, we believe it's fair to expect a reasonable return on our investment in Great Eastern. And Great Eastern have done well over the last decade. And since 2020, we have communicated on various occasions with the company, but they have done little to address our concern. So come this year, I thought that it's time for the shareholder to really get together to make enough noise loud enough for the company to hear us. And I believe our proposal can benefit all shareholders of Great Eastern, inclusive of OCBC, who owns about 88.5%. If you look carefully at my resolution, Resolution 1 and 2 aims to align the interests of the board director, the management, and then we talk about unlocking value for everybody.
Chin Woo, I would also like to point out that SIAS has written a letter to Great Eastern. Among other things, SIAS said, "It is surprising that Great Eastern has adopted a somewhat legalistic response to the tabling of resolutions by minority shareholders, a move which appears to sidestep the substantive concerns raised by the minority shareholders." So let's move on to the resolutions that you've proposed and what substantive issues they seek to address. Your first resolution is to withhold 30% of the board of directors' fees until Great Eastern's share price recovers to 0.8 times of its embedded value. For the benefit of our audience, let me just explain that embedded value is a valuation metric for insurance companies. It's the present value of future profits that an insurer is expected to generate from its in-force business, plus its adjusted net asset value. So conceptually, it's the value of an insurer, assuming it does not write any further policies. Shares of insurance companies usually trade above their embedded values because insurance companies are, in fact, always writing new policies. But Great Eastern has been trading at just a fraction of its embedded value. At the end of 2023, Great Eastern's embedded value was 17.3 billion Singapore dollars, or $36.59 per share. But the market price of its shares is only about $18 currently, so that's less than half its embedded value. Jinwoo, presumably you want the board of Great Eastern to feel the pain of its shareholders.
Okay, in summary, I hope to first align the interests of the board, the management, with their shareholders. Right, subsequently, we then explore ways that can enhance the long-term value for everybody. I believe that my requests are reasonable and beneficial to all stakeholders, not just shareholders. As I have explained in my notes that I sent out, I think it's reasonable to request the board to have some skin in the game, meaning having part of their remuneration being pegged to the valuation and shareholder returns. This will help them really to better appreciate the situation faced by us, especially that of minorities. I'm proposing to withhold, if you notice, but not forfeit the management fee. In principle, it's actually not much different from setting KPIs for the executive and rewarding them if KPIs are met. Actually, I'm more generous. I'm just withholding and not forfeiting the director fee.
Okay, so you're not saying that the director's fees are too high. You just want it aligned.
Yes, of course. The director fee of 18 million over a period of 10 over a year is not really that high. But I think they need to understand that shareholders do have the pain. And why I use a 30%? Because I believe that directors have multiple responsibilities taking care of all stakeholders and not just shareholders. For example, customer, executive, the shareholder. So I thought they have not taken care of us in that sense. And 1/3 is quite a fair way to derive at the number.
Okay, that sounds fair enough. It seems to me that the second and third resolutions are aimed at unlocking value at Great Eastern. That the second resolution is to replace OCBC shares in the current executive share option schemes with Great Eastern shares. OCBC has told me in the past that it pays Great Eastern employees with OCBC shares to foster a sense of unity within the group. It was also stated by the chairman of the Remuneration Committee at Great Eastern's last AGM that the practice is to foster the mindset that Great Eastern is part of a larger financial group that can extract value through synergies. Presumably, Jinwoo, you don't accept that.
It's quite an interesting statement from OCBC because I think there are many ways we can enhance cohesion, unity, things like having family days, functions, workshops, tea sessions. This probably will work better than giving them OCBC share. Imagine, can we ask then GH, why not give OCBC share as scrip dividend to GH shareholder? What will the board say? It's not uncommon for employee, right, or subsidiary to receive shares in the parent company. But in the case of Great Eastern, it is a separate listed entity. Giving GH share to GH employee will, of course, better align the Great Eastern employee and the shareholder.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you'll benefit everyone, inclusive of OCBC. And we are also concerned in situations whereby potential or conflict may exist between OCBC and Great Eastern. This measure will therefore prevent any unnecessary doubts of whether our interests will be taken care of.
So let's move on to the third resolution, which is quite interesting. The resolution is to appoint an independent financial advisor to explore options to enhance Great Eastern's shareholders' value. What is the rationale, Jinwoo, for bringing in an IFA into this matter?
The board has on many occasions says that they do not have control over the share price. But however, most of us know there are many tried and tested methods that can promote long-term share price appreciation in the interest of all shareholders. And this is precisely why I'm putting forward Resolution 3. I thought if the board are really short of ideas, they should get someone to help them. Thereafter, the board can explore and evaluate the various options available. Based on my own calculation, Great Eastern currently have excess capital of about 1.4B or $3 per share. In the AGM last year, I actually suggested for them to pay an additional dividend of 200 million or 40 cents per share a year. With their current earning level of between $1.6 to $2, they will still be able to accumulate excess capital in the years ahead.
Is Resolution 3 also a way of preempting a lowball privatization offer from OCBC? And OCBC, as you mentioned, currently holds 88.4% of Great Eastern shares.
Well, there's always this worry. But OCBC is a group with a long-term good reputation. So I am hopeful they'll act in the spirit of good corporate governance, give a fair and reasonable exit offer and achieve a win-win situation for all stakeholders if they were to do an offer. Not forgetting many of Great Eastern shareholders have held onto the shares for many years, some I know across generations. It will be very disappointing for OCBC to lowball loyal Great Eastern shareholders, and should that happen, I hope the authorities will look into the matter and not risk the reputation of Singapore as a global financial centre.
Still to come, what this minority shareholder action could mean for Great Eastern shares.
Market Focus Daily, a roundup of market movements and the news that drove the trading day here and in the region. Every trading day at 6 p.m., directly from the Business Times newsroom. Listen at businesstimes.sg/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, back to Mark to Market from the Business Times.
Welcome back to Mark to Market. It was almost exactly 20 years ago this month that OCBC first tried to take Great Eastern private. The deal, which I talked about in episode 33 of this podcast series, took place in the wake of a series of bank mergers that resulted in OCBC going from being one of the four largest banks in Singapore to becoming the smallest of the remaining three. The bid for Great Eastern not only allowed OCBC to bulk itself up without paying too much, it also held a promise of broadening its revenue and earnings base in its core markets of Singapore and Malaysia. A story that I helped write about the deal back in March 2004 quoted OCBC's then CEO, David Connor, as saying, "When two banks merge, clearly a lot of benefit comes from cost reduction. That is not the intention here at all. This is about improving cooperation and improving our ability to offer a full range of choices to our customers. It's about working together to cross-incentivize and cross-sell and to succeed in growing our market share." Fast forward 20 years, OCBC still talks about Great Eastern the same way. But I think it's fair to say that owning a big insurance unit no longer distinguishes OCBC in the market, if it ever did. In fact, OCBC's return on equity last year of 13.7% was somewhat behind UOB's ROE of 14.2% and way behind the 18% ROE clocked by DBS. Reflecting their respective ROEs, both OCBC and UOB currently trade at about 1.1 times their book values, while DBS trades at nearly 1.5 times book value. The way I see it, and full disclosure, I've owned shares in Great Eastern as well as OCBC for years. The way I see it, shareholders of OCBC should look closely at the minority shareholder action at Great Eastern and consider whether some form of value unlocking exercise at the insurance unit could also be beneficial to them. Chinwu, would you agree with what I've said? Do shareholders of OCBC have good reason to support the resolutions that you are trying to put forward at Great Eastern? Should they be pushing the board of OCBC to support those resolutions?
Firstly, many in my group are also OCBC shareholders. They are also concerned about OCBC share price performance. So let's take a look at my calculation. Between 2011 December till 2022 December, OCBC has suffered the greatest valuation decline when compared to DBS and UOB. Since 2019, it has the lowest price-to-book ratio among the three banks. There are various theories put forward by many analysts, including OCBC being overcapitalized, their lack of acquisition, and said to us, some say that it's being dragged down by Great Eastern. Great Eastern like to say that they have no control over share price. But more can be done to narrow the valuation gap. Also, between 2011 to 2022, AIA trades at an average price-to-EV ratio of 1.75 times, while GEH trades at 0.8 times. In fact, AIA is more proactive in seeking to enhance shareholder value. They declared a $10 billion USD buyback program in March 2022. Theoretically, If Great Eastern deliver higher value and higher dividend, the benefit should flow to OCBC shareholder. Hence, I think OCBC shareholder should be concerned with what's happening and Great Eastern. However, we all know that indirect processes are always hard to predict. A more direct approach is to ask OCBC to just distribute what it holds in Great Eastern to all its shareholders. Each shareholder holding 1,000 OCBC shares will get about 90 Great Eastern shares. This will be a lot easier and shareholders can subsequently decide what they want to do.
That's an interesting suggestion. Basically, demerge the two units in the sense that they both have a deep pool of minority investors.
Yeah, if you were to distribute GEH share to the OCBC shareholder, then the Great Eastern shareholder's structure will almost mimic that of OCBC. And you just imagine that you have a very liquid, sizable insurance company in Singapore. I think you'll quite naturally become included in key indexes. And I think it's good for the Singapore market as a whole.
Okay, so it'll be a win-win for investors as well as for the market.
Yep, a win-win for everybody.
Chinwu, as a former remiser, you will understand that, you know, when people hear about minority investor action and possible value unlocking initiatives, they naturally wonder what it could mean for the company's share price. So let me put you in the spot right now and ask you whether you think Great Eastern will be trading higher a year from now.
Okay, this is a tricky question. I always tell people who ask me, share price in the short term can either go up, flat, or down. If we focus on buying decent companies at decent prices, then we should be okay in the long run. However, this approach seems to hit an obstacle in Great Eastern and therefore we are into this minority shareholder action. Okay, being a long-term shareholder sitting on Great Eastern for more than a decade, I'm most likely to keep Great Eastern share unless there are drastic change to its fundamental. Of course, I'll continue to urge the board of directors to take necessary measures to protect and preserve the interests of shareholders.
Does that mean you'd be prepared to hold on to Great Eastern even if the company loses the minimum required public float and becomes untradeable?
Okay, frankly, this is going to be a tough call. I have to look at my own situation at that moment before I can decide. But actually, I have been holding an unlisted company, Union 2009 Limited, or formerly Overseas Union Insurance, since 2002. That's about 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah, and the directors are pretty nice people. We go to AGM, we chit-chat. It's very much like an old friends gathering kind of thing. And I learn a lot from them.
Okay, and every year you get a dividend or how does it work?
They are into a liquidation mode, so we got quite a decent payout over the years, yeah.
Okay, great. Chinwu, I know you've been involved in shareholder action at other companies over the years. In particular, you tried to put forward resolutions at Overseas Union Enterprises AGMs in 2004 and 2005 to have the company distribute its holdings of UOB shares. And I understand you also opposed the sale of Singapore Food Industries to SATS in late 2008. And early 2009. What did you learn from those experiences? And how are those experiences informing your approach in the Great Eastern case?
So firstly, let's have a little background on what happened in OUE. OUE was about 20 years ago. I led a group of minority shareholders to urge the company to distribute their 48.3 million shares in UOB to its shareholder. The stake is worth about 500 million at that point, or 280 per share. To our surprise, we got three foreign fund managers who came in to support our resolution. Marathon from UK, Third Avenue from US, and Apollo from Malaysia. In 2006, OUE decided to sell the UOB shares they own and distributed a total special dividend of 560 million, or about 320 per share. Subsequently, it was taken over by Lippo at about 10.2, if I recall correctly.
$10.20 per share.
Yeah. During the entire process, we lodged the resolution. We did twice in 2004 and 2005. The board was very nice. They keep assuring us they are there to protect our interests.
Mm.
And when that settled, we actually hold a celebration at a then Mandarin Orchard. Two board directors actually came.
So they joined you in the celebration?
Yeah, we intentionally hold it at Mandarin Orchard.
Okay, right. And what about SATS?
SAT was in 2009. I was concerned with the price they paid for SFI. According to my own calculation, I think the fair price for SFI is about 80 cents, but SAT was paying like 93 cents. So I spoke to the management, mobilized minority shareholders, but we were outvoted in the EGM. In a nutshell, from both cases, I learned that we need to be reasonable and when necessary, stand up to fight for our rights. Of course, bearing in mind that minority actions are never easy. Failures are the norm, success are rare. But if we don't even try, we will never be successful. I'm in the view that as shareholders become more educated, they should learn to come together to exercise the right. This will be good for the long-term development of our market.
So what is the best outcome, in your view, in the Great Eastern case?
On the Great Eastern case, the best case, I think, will be for, as we have said before, OCBC to distribute Great Eastern share to all OCBC shareholders, increasing Great Eastern liquidity, allowing its valuation to be restored. Then we have a decent company for everyone to invest in. The worst case scenario, of course, will be a lowball offer by OCBC, which we have also spoken about. Then I need to decide what further action I should take when that happens. But it will be kind of weird if the independent directors rejected my resolution 3 and allowed a lowball offer to take place.
Chin Wu, let me wish you the best of luck with your campaign at Great Eastern and OCBC. I hope we hear more from you in the weeks and months ahead. That's it for this episode of Mark to Market. Thanks very much to Ong Chin Wu for joining me today. I'm senior correspondent Ben Paul at the Business Times.
Thanks, Ben.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of our guest speakers and do not reflect the views or positions of the Business Times or SPH Media. This is a podcast by the Business Times. Find more BT podcasts at businesstimes.com.sg/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is meant to provide general information only. SPH Media accepts no liability for loss arising from any reliance on the podcast or use of third parties' products and services. Please consult professional advisors for independent advice.